All right, 9:21 on the ticket. Let's get into Gordo's Corner. It's brought to us by CrestCars.com.
Hopefully we'll have Dale Hansen here in just a few moments. He is going to be on the Ellen Show today. His commentary on the gay player who's going to be entering the NFL has gone viral. And everybody's talking about Dale Hansen yesterday and today. They've been talking about him. So we're going to have him on here in a few moments. A lot of people asking whether we're going to do Valentine's cards today. We just ran out of time. And plus, aren't they very insulting?
Dagnabbit.
How about this one? The word of the day for February 14th is legs. Let's go spread the word. How about that? That would have been a good one, right?
Hilarious.
Maybe we'll ask Dale Hansen about that. Joining us now on the ticket hotline is Dale Hansen himself, the man who, well, he's at WFAA right now, but I'm assuming he's going to be leaving here pretty soon to take this thing national after his video went viral. How are you, Dale?
I'm doing all right, Gordo. I'm doing okay.
Now, this had to surprise the hell out of you because you've done a lot of commentaries on Channel 8, a lot of unplugged stuff where you sign the screen and you talk, and then and they've all been well-worded and well-delivered, and then this one blows up. What happened?
You know, I honestly don't know, and I promise you, you're right about this. I swear to you, I didn't expect this kind of a reaction. I really did think that I would get, like, you know, 40 emails, 10 people saying, way to go, and, you know, 30 people saying you're going to burn in hell forever. And of course, I swear to you, I had two people say that, and I wrote them both back saying, well, I think there was a good chance I was going to burn in hell before the commentary. But I think, in part, because I've heard this a lot, and I just heard it again. I was doing an interview on PBS with a woman in Boston, and I think the fact that an old white guy in Dallas, Texas, who's been following sports for years and years and years, would take this position, I think, surprised a lot of people. I think I'm the Susan Boyle of commentary writing. They were just surprised to see this old, fat, ugly person walk out there. But then they really liked the voice, and it kind of elevated the discussion.
Mm-hmm. And
is the Susan Boyle reference just too deep for you guys?
No. We thought it was hilarious.
I got it. They didn't.
Will we hear some of these same jokes today on Ellen?
Yeah, but no. And that was kind of funny. The producer said to me, you know, we always tell everybody, don't try to be funny. That's Ellen's job. And I'm like, well, why the hell are you saying that to me? I'm funnier now. So I toned it down. I'm not funny on Ellen today.
Uh-huh.
So actually, I tell you the truth, I'm not sure I can tell you what the hell I said on Ellen.
But you think it went well?
It was a cool moment. It was incredibly cool. I have to admit that.
She does a good show. I don't know if you've ever watched that show.
Oh, no, I watch it a lot. I do. Yeah. I mean, my wife watches it every day. I think she's fantastic. I mean, I really do. I think she's fantastic, and not just because she thinks I'm fantastic. I'm not. You know, that has nothing to do with it.
Uh-huh. So what other requests have you had, other big shows?
Gosh, I mean, it's been stupid. I've been on CBS Radio in Chicago. I had a call from the UK last night that wanted to be on some broadcasting thing there, which I couldn't do. We had to turn down Pierce Morgan's show on CNN because I have this commitment to Ellen, and I can't do any television interviews until after her show airs. The Toronto Star has called. I mean, it's just I don't know why. I swear to you, I don't know why, but it's. It's just been, and now the ticket. I mean, the muser's on the ticket. This was the cherry on top of my incredible Sunday.
Well, you know, and we talked about it before. We always enjoy your commentaries. They're always, I think your writing skills always come to the forefront when you do one of these commentaries. But man, I watched it live when you did this, and I thought, that's another good Dale commentary, but I didn't think you said anything outrageous or anything. And you know, I've heard some people just rake you over the coals saying, oh, I can't believe this. I don't know, it's just weird how, because would you call yourself a conservative for the most part?
And then I think Dale's liberal. I think you're liberal.
No, the only time, and I love this story, but first of all, you're right. I just thought it was, you know, relatively common sense. I just thought it made sense. But no, the only time, I mean, in all seriousness, the only time I've been in real trouble at Channel 8 was for a commentary I did about Jackie Sherrill. And I quoted him, and he had referred to Kevin Murray in a very racist way on a phone interview with me, and I quoted him in the commentary. And then I said, Jackie Sherrill is a disgusting human being. And I paused, and I then followed it up with by saying, the problem is, when I look at men like Jackie Sherrill, I'm a liberal from the 60s. Who believes what Bobby Kennedy used to say, that some men see things that they are and ask why, and others see things that they could be and ask why not. I'm Dale Hansen. Good night. I get off the air. John McKay, the anchor guy, was doing weekends at that time. He came in. He said, man, you are in trouble now. You called Jackie Sherrill a disgusting human being. He said, you just can't do that. I said, well, we'll see. The next day, the great Dave Lane, the general manager of the station, calls me into his office. He throws the commentary at me. As I'm walking in, he's got a copy of it. He throws it at me, and he's a very mild-mannered guy. And he goes, did you say this on our air last night? And I said, well, yes, I did, but I think I proved that Jackie Sherrill's a disgusting human being. He goes, oh, no, no, hell, you proved that without question. You said you're a liberal and you quoted that damn Bobby Kennedy? Are you serious? Are you serious? And he went on and on and on. I mean, he was madder than hell that I admitted to being a liberal. No, I'm left of left. People who know me, which I'm not supposed to say that a lot, but I'm left of left. And I do think, in part, that's what surprised a lot of people, that certainly people around the country, that they had this stereotype of everybody in Texas is you know, right-wing conservative, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, I'm not, and as I'm finding out, there's quite a few others who aren't either.
You know what, this is going to start now at Channel 8, because Dale and Delkus are always going back and forth. I just heard from Delkus this morning. He said tonight, before his forecast, he's going to do a commentary on abortion.
So, yeah. Yeah, he wants to address that.
It's going
to
get out of control.
Something to stir it up. You know, I've got that was the thing. Now, Delkus is a conservative guy, but Delkus is, I mean, he's a Republican guy. He's a conservative guy. But at the same time, I think he's a little more tolerant. And that's all I wish we would see. I respect people's opinions. What I just don't understand is why so many people in America, you know, don't respect the other side. I haven't heard it yet, but I heard from several people that Rush Limbaugh actually yesterday played my commentary.
Yeah, he broke it down.
In support of it. I mean, he supported it. So now I got to go back and rethink the whole damn thing.
Nah. Yeah, so this is, I guess this is the biggest thing you've done, this and the SMU thing. That's pretty strange, isn't it?
Well, I wonder, that's come up. I wonder what it would have been like if we'd had the social media impact back in 86 when we did the SMU story. And then the biggest thing before this one was obviously the Thank God for Kids, when I wrote about Jerry Sandusky's sexual abuse of kids and my own run-in. And I don't know that this is anything of any measurement that matters, but that commentary got about 1,100 emails, and again from several countries and other states and like. I came home last night. I've already cleared out, because you guys know I answer every email I get. Now, I might just answer it with thank you, Dale, but I like people to know that I have seen it and that I've read it, and then I answer it. And I've cleared out in the last week about 600. And we got home last night from taping the Ellen Show. I don't know if you guys know that, but I was on the Ellen Show.
You heard that, yeah.
And so I get home from taping the Ellen Show, and there were 2,200 emails.
Oh, my gosh.
22. So now I'm somewhere 2,700, 2,800 emails, which I've had nothing like this. And my wife keeps telling me about all the things on her Facebook page, which I don't do. And it's far and away. And again, I'm with you guys. I swear to you, I am. I think I've done some more outlandish stuff. I think I've done some, in many ways, I think I've done some better stuff. But this one has resonated with a lot of people. And I do think it's because, I really do think the single biggest reason it resonates is because of the NFL. I think if Michael Sam had come out and said, I'm going to play in the NBA, it would have been a pretty big story. I think if he'd have said, I'm going to play Major League Baseball, it might have been a little bit bigger story. But once he came out saying he's gay and he hopes to play in the NFL, I think that was the bombshell. And then I do think you sprinkle in an old fat white guy in support of him, and presto, you've got social media madness.
Well, another thing that would have caused social media madness if we had it back when you and Switzer got in a boxing match that night.
Yeah, that would have been pretty good too. I'm kind of the flash point for stupid stories, I guess. I kind of enjoy it. I mean, and that's why I said when I got this, I always love the people that just rip on me. And here again, I haven't gone through all of them, obviously, but through that first 600, I've had about 30, you know, that will never ever watch me again.
Mm-mm.
And by my count, it's amazing that I get any response at all, because by my count, over the last, 20 years or so, I've had 17 million people tell me they're never going to watch me. I don't know where the hell they're living at. I guess that Channel 8 antenna just goes forever.
How long did it take you to write that, and how far in advance did you write that commentary?
Well, another straight. I don't know if you. I don't know how you do it, but the way I spend a lot of time thinking about it, different lines, and I'm kind of jotting down. This will work. This argument will work this way. And then when I actually wrote it, Gordon, it took me like 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. I mean, I sat down. Sean Hamilton, the great producer Sean Hamilton, comes to me Sunday night and he said, "You have to write something about this. You got to." And we're always just, kind of looking to write something that'll spark a little interest, fill some time, whatever. And we actually debated, not long, but we actually debated, should I write about Marcus Smart running into the stands, or should I write about Michael Sam? And in part, I didn't write about Marcus Smart because I'd written about that before. And so I thought, and plus I think this is better, obviously. And so I said, okay, let me think about it. I actually left the studio Sunday night saying, let me go home and think about it and see if I can come up with an argument that I think is worth making. And that's what I did. And that's what I used to do. And then, I'm thinking, that line might be, this argument will work. And, ooh, wait a minute, what about you, whatever. And then I got pretty excited about it. And then I came in, which for me is incredibly early. So I went in about 2:00 Monday afternoon. Everybody was shocked to see me in the building. And I
said, they were assuming you were finally going to get fired. You've been called in.
This must be big. I mean, this must be it, because if he's coming in early, the last time I went in the station early was at Channel 4, where they called me in early to fire me. So, but I sat down and I said, Sean, I think I've got it. And when I write, Gordo, I just start talking to the computer, and I'm basically typing as I'm talking.
Yeah, I've watched you do it. You do. Yeah. You sit there and you talk to the computer and type things out.
And I literally just kind of wrote it straight through. And about 20 minutes later, 15, 20 minutes later, I hollered at John. I said, I think I got it. Come here. He comes in, and he's, I think that's good. And it really was just like that. He goes, yeah, I think that's good. Arnold Payne came walking by. I said, hey, Arnold, pop in there. He pops in. I read it to him. I said, what do you think? And he goes, yeah, I think that works. Yeah, I think that's good. And that was all. I mean, it was, and then what happens between that time and 10 o'clock, I go back and I tweak a word, I tweak a phrase.
Take out the F-bombs.
Yeah, drop out the F-bombs. And, I cleaned up the racial references, whatever. But, I mean, I don't, and I don't know, I've been very lucky. I think like when you write those columns, I mean, I just labor over something like that. And I think the one advantage I have is that I only write when I'm, I don't have to have a column ready every Saturday or every other day like some of these guys do, and I have all the respect in the world for that. I couldn't do it. But when I find a subject that just absolutely moves me, I love to write. I mean, I wish I could do it more better, but I just love the power of the written word. And then thank God they invented Google so I can pull up all these quotes and people think I'm a well-read person. I don't know if people wrote anything of any substance before Google came out.
That's the truth. Well, it's great stuff, and it'll be interesting to see you on the Ellen Show today at 1 o'clock. It's earlier because of Olympic coverage, but we will check it out, and we'll probably roll on it and make fun of it next week.
Yeah, well, I tell you the truth, I'm probably not going to watch it, because I really did. I follow a thing that John Madden said years ago, and I haven't seen myself until I haven't seen the commentary. I don't watch myself, because you know, I've got mirrors in my house, and I know how bad it is. But the thing that's really funny, you might get a kick out of this, and I'll be disappointed if you don't hammer me for it. The most nerve-wracking, I don't get nervous. You guys know me a long time. I that doesn't bother me. That was fine. It was fun. It was great. But I was scared like crazy as to how do you walk out? Because you're on the Ellen Show, you're supposed to dance out.
Right.
And I told the producer, that ain't going to happen. And she said, no, we don't expect that from you. And, of course, Chris was like, you have to dance out. I said, I'm not going to dance out. And I came walking out. And, I mean, that might have been the longest 30 feet of my life.
Oh, no.
There's a room full of caffeinated women screaming like crazy. And all of a sudden, this fat, bald guy comes out. And they're like, we waited 6 months to get Ellen tickets, and we get some fat guy named Dale Hansen. What the hell kind of a show is this? And that 20 feet to walk from the entrance to her set was nerve-wracking as hell. And then, as her producer said, once you said, I mean, she gave me a big hug, and she whispered some very nice words in my ear, and then I sat down. And
what did she say to you in your ear? Did she say, I'd change for you?
Well, actually, she said, between you and me, I'm not gay. Can I meet you later? And then at the end, she said, don't tell anybody. I said, what would be the point if I don't tell? I mean, it was awesome. It was incredible.
And, man.
So I had to send Chris to the airport by herself, but that's another thing. She was very, very complimentary about the thing. And that was really kind of a cool thing. They run clips of it during the show, and she's just staring at the monitor. I mean, she's just stone-faced staring at the monitor, and I mean, it was wow. And then she turns around to me, and she's got these unbelievable blue eyes.
Yeah.
And this is what her producer had said. She goes, Dale, you're going to have fun. You're going to sit down, those blue eyes are going to wash over you, and you're going to be on your way. And it's exactly what happened. And so she runs this clip of the commentary, and she's saying all this nice thing, and she looks like she's kind of getting a little choked up about it. And hell, you know me, I cry when, you know, Grandpa gets sick on the Waltons, for God's sake.
Who passed away.
I'm starting to get a little choked up, and I'm thinking, oh, my God. I said, I'm sitting here, and I said, if I start getting choked up, I said, the ticket will never let me hear the end of this. I reined it back in, and we finished up and called it a day. And then the other quick story for you, they have like four different, what they call those, you know, the green room type thing.
Mm-hmm.
And we're upstairs, and then Kevin Costner is coming on behind me.
Wow.
I mean, and I think that's a pretty typical order. I mean, you'd put me first. And Costner didn't dance out either. He just walked out, and then they joked around about the fact that he didn't dance either. And so we're sitting upstairs in this green room, you know, waiting to go, and this producer pokes her head in. She goes, Kevin Costner would like to meet you. And I turn around. I said, great, send him on up. You know, then she kind of looked at me. I said, no, yeah. I'm sorry. I know. So we go downstairs, and I meet Kevin Costner, and it was fantastic. And we're standing there talking. And my opening line to him, George, because I was kind of geeked up at this point, too. And we're talking just a little bit. He's, hi, I'm Kevin. I looked at him. I swear to God, I go, you should have laid up on 18. And he just laughed. I said, no, seriously. He said, well, that's not 10 Cup. 10 Cup had to go for it. I said, I know, but you should have laid up.
Should have laid up.
And then
quad.
We were off. I mean, he started telling stories, and Chris, of course, he's like, yowza, you know. And, it was pretty cool. I mean, you guys, you know, being with you guys is nice, but, you know.
Ellen's Kevin pretty big.
Kevin and I go back
and
a
Kevin,
long.
Yeah, that's pretty big.
Well, it's very cool, Dale. We're running out of time. We've had you on for 38 minutes now. And so it's today at 1 o'clock on
Channel
5, and you can see Dale Hansen and Ellen and Kevin Costner, and Dale is, I understand that your outfit topped Johnny Weir's, so I can't wait to see this. Thanks for being on with us, Dale.
Always a pleasure, boys. See ya.
All right, we'll see ya. That's Dale Hansen. See him today on Ellen.
Junior, do you have anything for Dale?
Ooh. Rich, you have anything to say about docking?
All right. Fantastic Friday feedback, at least what we have time for, next at 888-787-1310.